ministries or started talking about the gospel of sacrifice. And as we looked at what that meant and how it impacted our lives, we're going to be exploring that in the month of September as we think about the gospel of sacrifice. And my computer screen not working. Okay, so I'll need some help from the technicians, because you're above my head when it doesn't pull up, pop up, or find its way out, then I'm lost. But we got a message. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Okay, when they come get in. Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. And as I've been going back and looking at sacrifices and looking at the sacrificial law that God established among the children of Israel, it wasn't that God wanted them to kill animals. God wanted to reconcile a relationship that had been torn, a relationship that had been severed. And in that, God wanted man to confess that they were wrong, that they had been the ones that were guilty of disobeying God and had caused them to fall out of fellowship with him. So in the book of Genesis, we wonder, where did all this begin? It began what we would call and refer to as the fall of man, as the fall of man. So as we look at that today and as we think about how man fell from God's grace, I want you to turn there, verses 8 through 10. And the Bible said, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God calling in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said to him, Where are you? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." From these verses, we want to share with you a message entitled, "The Danger of Hiding from God." The danger of hiding from God. Before you take your seats, look at somebody and tell them, you can't hide from God. You may be seated. Father, bless us now as we share your word, that we might share the truth that is able to set us free. We claim the victory through your word, and we ask that you would help us, that in all that we do, we would seek to honor and glorify your name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and get him to black out the screen since we're not going to use that, so hold on just a little bit. Go ahead and black out the screens. All right. Adam heard the voice of God, and his response to God speaking to him was, "Let me hide. Let me hide." Now, what had happened? What had happened? I want you to notice a couple of things. First of all, the voice of the Lord walking through the garden in the cool of the day. Some of us might even just miss that and dismiss it as saying, "Oh, well, God showed up." And that's fine. But the term voice of the Lord, or the word of God, God's word, walked through the garden seeking to have fellowship with man. And this was a regular thing. This wasn't just something that came every now and then. This was God's way of speaking to man. So from that, we can infer that God speaks to us. God speaks to us. But the second thing that we can draw from that is the fact that God speaks through his word, voice of the Lord, the word of God. When you pick up your Bible, you're not picking up a collection of literature. You're reading something where God wants to have conversation with you about himself and about you. Everyone okay with that? So as we look at that, we see that God came through the garden and was seeking fellowship with man, but man was doing what? Hiding. He said, I'll hide myself. Now, why did he hide himself? He had eaten some fruit. And we try to guess what kind of fruit it was. Well, that's not important. God had said for him, don't eat from that tree, lest you die. It wasn't that it was a particular tree. It was the fact that Adam disobeyed God. And that severed, that broke the fellowship with God. So now we have to ask ourselves, what damage did it cause? Why in the world would the living God cry out to Adam, where are you, if he is omniscient, if he knows everything? Now, the fact is, God knew his whereabouts. He even knew why Adam was hiding. Here's where we get into the sacrifice. All right, when we think about Adam hiding, what God wanted Adam to do was to confess. Tell me what's going on. Why did you commit the act? When we come to church and we say that we're going to sacrifice, give something to God, it's not just the fact that we put our name on the offering envelope and we say, I'm giving this amount, but we're saying, God, I want to have conversation with you about this. Some of y'all praying, bless the rest of it, right? But you want to engage with God. You want to be able to say, God, here I am. And throughout the Jewish history, throughout the church history, you would find constantly, whether it be through prayer, through praise, or worship, people coming into fellowship with God, saying, God, we need to talk. Now, the opposite is hiding. Going into hiding. Knowing that there's a need. Knowing that there's something going on the inside, what we would rather do is just cover it up, cover it up. And that's where I'm telling you there is a danger. There is a danger. A couple of things that we learned from this, we see about hiding itself and some of the main points and the seriousness of hiding. The first thing that we discover, it indicates something has changed in the relationship. Something has changed in the relationship, where now you don't feel comfortable being around someone because, you know, when you get mad at somebody, you don't want to see them. Now, when Adam sinned, we know that from the verse that it had interrupted, it had damaged the relationship with God, but they also had damaged the relationship between themselves. They built or they sewed together fig leaves. Now, both of them in the garden, both of them are innocent. Why in the world would you need to have fig leaves if you're innocent before God? Damage of sin. Anytime we sin against somebody, we sever that relationship and now we want to hide it. You've heard the saying, people throw rocks and then they hide their hand. That's actually from a reference from Proverbs. But another thing that happens is not just the damaging of that relationship, but now we see a second thing that happens is that when you hide, now you're saying, I feel a threat so much that I don't want to face it. I don't want to deal with this issue. So I'm going to hide from it. You can hide behind work. Adam picked the trees of the garden. Isn't that interesting? A tree got you in trouble, so now you go hide behind a tree. Which brings me to my first country story. We had this mule by the name of Rhodey. And Rhodey was pretty good, but then we had another mule by the name of Red. Okay. No reference to you, Red. Okay, so, but anyway. We had another mule. That mule was so smart that when it didn't want to work, it would not only run out of the field, but it would go and hide behind a tree. And then peep out like, are you looking for me? I can only imagine how God felt when the one that he created in his own image was now running from him and hiding. I heard your voice walking through the garden, and because I have severed this relationship, because he didn't say that, but that was the truth, because I've sinned, now I can't face you. You see, when we hide from something, we're saying, I don't want to face it. Now granted, sometimes you hide out of safety, right? You want to make sure that you're taking cover if a storm is coming. You don't want to stand up there and defy the storm. I dare you to strike me. I had, by the way, I worked with a guy that, he said, I'm scared of no lightning. So, he'd get out there, and the rest of us, we just kind of back in, just saying. And the very day that he decided that he was going to be defiant, I'm not scared of no lightning. Lightning hit a tree about 50 feet from him, and it literally shook the ground where we were standing. Now, granted, we were standing on concrete, so I doubt if it could have gotten there, but I don't know. And that man, by the time he got out of his mouth, I'm not scared of lightning, that lightning hit, that thunder rolled, and his eyes lit up. 1 week later, he got saved. Isn't that something? So God is an amazing God. He doesn't want us to hide from him. He doesn't want us to hide from things in life. Some issues you got to take on. Some things you got to deal with. And you got to say, God, if you give me the strength, I'll deal with that. But then there's a third thing that it does. If you continue with hiding, it's going to become to the point where that'll be your go-to method of dealing with life. People that use drugs, they're hiding. They might use that, and they might shoot something in their vein or smoke it or whatever you do, but you're hiding. People that get addicted to alcohol, what are you hiding? Come to God and say, God, I have this issue in my life. I feel an emptiness, and I need you to help me because I'm struggling. Minister of the Week, he talked about struggling saints. And Lord knows you can do your very best and try to do everything right and still find yourself struggling. But isn't it better to struggle with God on your side than to struggle against God? Running from one hiding place, from one thing to the other, it's better to know that he is with us. There's a danger in hiding. There's a danger in hiding. You say, well, preacher, what are the dangers? Number one, you're hiding from responsibility. People can hide from responsibility. I came across this verse in 1 Samuel where Saul had been anointed as the king of Israel. There was this process where the prophet or the leader, spiritual leader, would go out, lay hands, and pour oil on someone's head, and they would become the person that God had chosen for the task. Now, Saul was head and shoulders above everyone else. He was the tallest among the Benjamites and among all the people of Israel. And the favor of God was placed upon him when the prophet Samuel prayed and anointed him. So now he's the leader of Israel. So when they have a ceremony to recognize Saul, guess what he does? He hides. And the Bible said he hid himself among the stuff. The stuff. Now might be a good time to check your life out and find out how much stuff you got and whether or not it's needed. Is that something that's causing you? Now, stuff doesn't have to be material. It can be spiritual stuff. It can be emotional stuff. But he hid himself behind the stuff. We got a lot of stuff that happens here in Crossroad. You know, somebody offends you, which is going to happen. That's going to happen in the church. We're imperfect. We're going to offend each other sometime. But what's wrong with an apology and an acceptance? Okay, you got me one time. Now, you can say you're sorry all you want to. I ain't going to trust you another time. You're hiding. I started to say, touch somebody and hide. We're not touching. That's hiding. That's hiding. It's keeping you from what God would have you to do. Saul hid himself from the stuff because he didn't want to bear the responsibility. That's two words there. It's put together in our language, and when we say it, but it's really response able or able to respond. Now, why was he able to respond? He was able to respond because he had this anointing on him. And yet he hid himself. I don't know whether he felt that, okay, if I just play humble, then, you know, I don't have to do this. I can just, you know, do whatever. No, you can't. If God has something for you to do, that becomes your assignment. One of the other things that people do in hiding is they want to protect themselves from harm. But sometimes when God sends you to a battle, he doesn't want you to hide from the battle. Later on in the 13th chapter of 1 Samuel, we find that Saul had transgressed against God, and because the leadership was weak, now the people are weak. Now the people are weak. Now they can't face the enemy. And the Bible says that they hid themselves in caves. They hid themselves among the rocks. Because now you got an issue with leadership. Now you have a place where if the leader is weak, and even the Israelites, they said that they followed Saul trembling. Trembling. We need bold people. We need bold people like Cora Ten Boom. I was reading about her biography. She wrote the book of The Hiding Place, where she writes about her experience. And she was born in a time where the Nazis were killing the Jews, and in their land of Holland, what they were trying to do is to save the Jews, to save them. Save them from the harm that was bringing upon them. And even though 6 million died, it was 800 less than what it could have been because of Cora Ten Boom and her sister. They would have done more. And guess what they did? They hid the people in their house. And that's where you turn hiding into something positive. You're being responsible because you're hiding people in your house. He said, she said in her book, she said, now, if you are looking at the things of this world, you will become distressed. If you look within yourself, you will become depressed. But if you look to God, you will find rest. Isn't that what we're seeking? When you go to the hiding place, you're saying, I want to rest. Some of you have been broken by the things of life because they've just battered you, and just beat you down. But God says, come to me. Jesus gave one of the greatest invitations that's ever been given. Come unto me, all you who labor, toiling, and I will give you rest. Cora Ten Boom and her sister were captured. They themselves went to the concentration camp. Abused by their enemies, her sister Betsy died. She gave up. But Cora Ten Boom kept believing that God had a purpose for her life. And in God, she found the hiding place. Amen. Some of you all today, you need to find Amen. That hiding place yes. in God. And here's what happened. Years later, after the Nazis were defeated in World War II, Cora Ten Boom came to this place in America, and she noticed that the gentleman that she was looking at was one of her captors, one of her abusers. She said instantly the fear, the anger began to rush at her. But because she found a hiding place in God, she was not only able to forgive the man that had tortured them, but to pray with them that he would receive Christ. When you've been to your hiding place, you not only can say to people, I forgive you, you can do something spiritual in their life that represents Christ. You can speak to their need and say, I know that you've done this for evil, but God intended it for good. Have you found that hiding place? Let me rush right on because I'm running out of time. Another reason why we hide is we want to don't want to face responsibility. We have reservations from harm. But then there's a third reason. We would want to face the repercussions of what we've done. Adam and Eve hid themselves among the trees of the garden. They hid themselves. They said, that's our solution. That's what we're going to do. That's how we're going to deal with God. We're going to hide ourselves. We're going to hide. What a silly thing to think. And yet, when you look at the repercussions that can happen in your life, sin has its own destruction. The Bible says that be sure and that your sin will find you out. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you want to face God, or do you want to face the repercussions for your sin? Anytime God calls you, he's willing to talk with you. Otherwise, he could just zap you out where you are. But the fact that he is calling says, I need to talk to you. I know in my own life, when I fall short of God's glory and the last thing I want to do is to have that time of fellowship, I know that I need to get with God. I need to get with him quickly. Don't ever think that we're so good that we never sin. As the preacher said last week, we sin less. But on this journey called life, sometimes Satan will hit you and he'll get you to think certain things, to act certain things, or even to believe certain things, and now you're hiding from God. And God says, I want you to come talk to me because I'll show you not only that you can deal with that, but I'll give you a hiding place. I'll give you a hiding place. The story is told about Sojourner Truth. How many of y'all remember her, remember reading about her? People say, why you got to bring up this history? Well, you know, if you don't know your history and where you come from, you might just find yourself back there. Hello? And Sojourner Truth, I learned something about her. This woman believed so much in the Word of God and in the power of God that not only did she defend and say, well, I'm going to find my own freedom, but she went before, get this, the court in New York to get freedom for her own child. And she won the case without a worldly lawyer, because she had another lawyer, and his name was Jesus. She went on, and as we read about her biography, because she so believed in evangelizing and carrying God's word, that she went on to help others, nearly 1,000, to find their freedom because she believed in the truth. When you find your refuge and when you find your hiding place in God, you can believe in the truth. And what does the Bible say about the truth? The truth sets you free. All hiding does is to make you fearful. And you're worried about, well, who sees me? Who knows me? Well, God knows you. And if you just simply say to him in your weak moments, here I am, God. I'm not going to hide. Don't play like our mule did behind the tree, just peeping out. By the way, my uncle wasn't as kind to animals as I am. One day he peeped out behind the tree. My uncle met him with a 2x4. Yeah, I know, that's animal cruelty. Well, you know, he had enough of that mule. Can't we be like mules? Let me hurry up and close this message by giving you several things you need to think about. If you're going to find a hiding place in God, recognize that hiding is not a solution, it's just a reaction. And when you start confessing to God, you start saying to him, Lord, I need you in my life. That's when you're looking for a solution. Let me tell you what the Bible says our solution is when dealing with our sin, what we wrestle with. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, okay? And remember, that's what you do when you offer sacrifice. If you confess your sin, what's God going to do? Punish you? No. It says he is faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Look at somebody and ask him, what are you hiding from? If he's going to cleanse you, if he's going to liberate you and set you free, what are you hiding from? Second thing we find out about it is that it can become a habit. It can become very addictive. The act of hiding can be a way of now driving you to the point where you don't want to respond to anything. Proverbs 19, verse 24 talks about the slothful man or the lazy man. He said he won't even bring his hand out of his bosom to put food in his mouth. Now that's kind of a story or a metaphor, but this guy is so lazy, he doesn't even feed himself, much less get a shovel and try to go to work. When you get into the habit of hiding, it will cause you to have a spiritual laziness about not dealing with your life. I'll just put it off till tomorrow. I'll just wait until I get old. Well, the gray hairs are popping up on your head. Amen. If you're like me, you're kind of losing teeth every now and then. Go to the dentist and all you want is a cleansing. He said, I'm going to have to pull this one. Doc, I don't have that many more. And I can't afford those implants, you know. What do you do when you're in hiding? Third thing. Not only do you realize that it's a reaction and it can become a habit, but if you're going to hide, find a good hiding place. How many of y'all remember playing that game, all right? Hide and seek. Hide and seek. Okay, one person that got found on the last round, now it's his job to count and go find everybody else. All right? And you got to find yourself a hiding place. And then you'd come out of your hiding place and try to race back to that old tree before they catch you. Right? Satan is counting on the fact that you're not going to make it back to the tree because you're hiding behind the wrong tree. But guess what? Jesus of Nazareth has given you a tree that you can run to if you need to hide. Let the devil count all he wants because you've got a tree called Calvary. You've got a tree called the cross. You have a tree that you can come and lay your burdens down. Would you please, if you're going to hide, hide behind the tree. Hide behind the one that knows your name. Hide behind God. As a matter of fact, hide in God. He'll be your way maker. He'll be your burden bearer. He'll talk to you if you just come to him. He'll let you know that everything is going to be all right. I close by telling you the story of my grandmother. Every time a storm would come up, talking about lightning, whether you wanted to or not, she said, now get over in that corner. She turned the lamp down and everything else, and you hide right there, and the lightning won't hurt you. You go over there in the corner, and you don't got old now. You about 10, 12 years old. You know everything. Grandma, why I got to go over here? When you're hiding, there's no need for you to keep talking because you'll let the enemy know where you are. And Grandma would have us to hide all those times. And I think about that because there are times in life where it will beat you down so much where you don't have a whole lot to say. Life has you broken and you feel like you're helpless. Some people feel like, well, if I confess, I got to say something to God. No, no. You don't have to say a word. Just come to him. Lay your burden down. He knows all about you. He'll tell you, shh, shh, be quiet. In the presence of the Lord. That's your hiding place. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you that in you we found our hiding place. All of the people that have come to you over time, they found out, Lord, that while they were trying to hide their sin was really their problem. But I'm so glad that you looked beyond our sin and our fault and you saw our need. And now in you, we found our hiding place. If that's not true for someone today, I pray that they would humble their heart and then open their heart and come out of hiding that you might bless them with your forgiveness, with the embrace of your love, and Lord, with the power of your Spirit. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask that you all stand. And the invitation is given, as we often do, for those that need God's strength, you need God's power, you need to find a hiding place. We give that invitation to you so that you can find a refuge in Christ. If there's one today, we invite you to come. The doors of the church are open if you're looking for church membership, fellowship, a way to know God better and to serve Him better. We invite you to come. Is there one?